makes me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery. Today is our inner peace call, and I am super excited about our topic, which is spirit versus ego. Boy, we've got a big juicy one here for today. And I want to just start today and just welcome everyone that may be new to Momentum Mastery, whether you're brand new today or whether you've been part of us from the start. I just want to extend a nice warm welcome to you. And I just remind everyone listening in that each month Momentum Mastery provides two live calls. One is focused on your success, and one is focused on your inner peace. And I thought, since, you know, here we are now actually in week six, that we've covered several topics. And before we jump into our spirit versus ego conversation, I just want to do a little review so that we can keep alive some of the ideas and concepts that we have been sharing and discussing over the last several weeks. So it may be an opportunity to be like, oh yeah, you know, how am I doing that area? Did I do that assignment? An opportunity really to check in. So a little mini review here. First off, we kicked off with creating a year-long vision. And here's where we got that opportunity to really look into the future and then look back about what we do want to create in our lives. So I know some of you jumped full in and created your year-long vision, literally wrote it down. Some of you may be still contemplating in your mind. I'd love to remind you to pull out that worksheet, listen to the recording if you haven't, and to really make an appointment with yourself to sit down and do that year-long vision. We've also then moved into talking about now practices, the importance of being present. And many of you picked two now practices that you're going to focus in on. That is an activity that you're doing every day anyway, but consciously deciding to be more present during that activity. So just a reminder here, you know, what are your top two now practices? Where are you practicing being present? How are you doing with that? Do we need to bring more presence and attention to those? Or have you already begun to notice the ripple effect of being present? Noticing how you are a little bit more present than maybe you were just a few months ago. We then talked about daily rituals, which was one of our success topics. Also, now practice is coming from lesson number one in The Power of Inner Choice, and daily rituals being a concept pulled from lesson number two in The Power of Inner Choice. So daily rituals being what's allowing you to keep those energy vibrations high. What are the little practices that you're doing every day to foster that raising of consciousness, to have you, you know, feeling in a state of gratitude? Is it writing daily appreciations? Is it exercise or meditation or journaling or telling a loved one, I love you? So just to check in on your daily rituals and see, is there one of those that you really need to recommit to? We then covered a topic on resistance. And, of course, we know that we love exploring resistance because every time we look resistance square in the eyes, we've got the opportunity to transform it and reconnect back to a place of inner power and inner peace. So we've got many tools within the Momentum Mastery program to support us in relaxing resistance. One of those is the Inner Peace Reality Check process, which was one of your bonus interviews. Both of the CDs that were your bonus CDs, the Secrets to Everyday Inner Peace and Inner Peace for Conscious Achievers, both walk you through the Inner Peace Reality Check process in a different way. So fabulous tools for relaxing that resistance. And then last week we talked about tolerations. Yes, those little nagging things that can drain our energy when we don't get them handled. And I know this was one of my first weekends of not traveling to a city, having to move, having a vacation or a training to attend. I actually had 4 days without appointments, which was quite delicious, but it also made room for me to attend to some tolerations, like getting a new phone. Those of you that are coaches know that phones wear out and you do have to replace them every, you know, I don't know if it's every 2-3 years, something like that, new headset. Got a new one of those, got my car washed, actually not just washed, I did a clay, they did some kind of a clay polish, so now it's super shiny. After being parked outside for a while, I now have covered parking, and it's so nice to have a shiny, clean car. You know, got the shower head installed after moving, got some plumbing issues handled. You know, so how good it feels when we can tackle these little tolerations. So a reminder about handling tolerations in your life and just take an inventory. You know, what are the, you know, 1 to 5 tolerations that you really want to tackle this coming week to free up more energy so that you have more of you available to, you know, go get clients or work on your book project or get the word out about, you know, the latest, greatest thing that you're up to. Or just have the energy to be with your significant other, your honey, and have the energy to get yourself to the gym and the yoga studio. So there we have what we've covered so far. So our topic for today is spirit versus ego. And this is the lesson that relates to lesson number 3 in The Power of Inner Choice. You'll note that each month we actually cover one of the lessons in Power of Inner Choice. So one call will be related to the book, and one call will be related to a different topic. It may be helpful to read the chapter of the lesson that we're about ready to cover prior to the call or immediately after. Probably have even more meaning, you know, somewhere right around the call. So let me just throw out a couple questions. Do you ever wish life was as easy as following the simple directions? Or do you ever get caught in a moment of indecision and wonder what to do? Do you ever wish that you could easily distinguish between the controlling, restrictive influence of the ego and just allow your higher self to guide you? So if you answered yes to any of those questions, then that is exactly where we're going here today, because life really can be as easy as following the simple directions when we're tuned in to the guidance of spirit, and it, you know, we'll soon see how it can nudge us down life's path in a really beautiful way. We're going to dive into a couple key questions, and we've got, of course, our active listeners here on the line, and I'm going to be opening the lines here in a minute as we explore a couple key questions around spirit versus ego. So just to give you a little heads up, but let me just first share a few things about what I mean by spirit. We've got spirit in the title of our talk. We should know, you know, what are we talking about? And I like to think of spirit as that place of inner choice. The book, The Power of Inner Choice, is really pointing directly to spirit, really that guiding force in our life. It's what we could call it our internal guiding system. We might refer to it as our intuition. Some might refer to it as God or the Holy Spirit, maybe our higher self, the universe. It's that all-knowing force that we are connected to that guides us whether we like it or not, that made sure that, you know, it's part of what got you here to Momentum Mastery. You know, somehow there was a nudge or an inkling to follow a link or to listen to a referral by a friend or, you know, to search for something on the internet. And somehow when you arrived, there was a yes. You know, and we want to get, you know, clear about recognizing those yeses in our life. I also like to look at spirit as really almost synonymous with our inner peace and power. When we're really connected to spirit, there's a clear frequency. The signal-to-noise ratio is such that it's just like a radio channel. We're tuned right in. There's no static. We can hear our guidance. Here's a few other key distinguishing features of spirit. One thing to get is spirit is you. It's not something outside of yourself. Sometimes we like to think of, you know, maybe higher self as maybe being even outside of our body. But one thing to really get about spirit is you have access to it all the time. It is you. It's also about serving your highest good and the highest good of others. And here's why it's important. It's when we're really honoring spirit's guidance, you know, we can come to trust that it will ultimately lead us to the highest good. And we'll circle back to that in a minute. Spirit is also unconditionally loving, both to you and others. So if, for example, if we think, you know, it's about deprivation or spirit saying, no, you can't really have what you want, that might not be spirit at work. Spirit is really, you know, and it's not that everything we want is in our highest good, but it's not about creating suffering. So to really get that spirit is unconditionally loving. It's also wise and all-knowing. Some like to refer to it more as that universal intelligence that is keeping order in the world. That, you know, there's, if you look at all at chaos theory, you know, chaos theory, you know, would say that, well, really there's so many dynamics for planet Earth to sustain itself and, you know, have trees and all the life that it has, that there must be some kind of intelligence or organizing force to bring order to it, because chaos theory says that now everything, you know, there's more of a tendency for things to be chaotic, and yet if we look around, there's actually, even in this economy, there's actually a lot of order. There's a natural balance, and some would say there's that innate intelligence that's working through. Well, you have access to that as well, and it's communicating to you and through you all the time. Another element of spirit is a sense of aliveness. So we'll know we're tapped into it when we're feeling that, sometimes we refer to it as flow, that sense of aliveness. So it's a good reminder. When we're most feeling alive and present, you know, we can sure as heck guess that there's an element of spirit very present. And the other word I use to describe spirit is indescribable, because as much as I'm trying to give us a definition around spirit here, I will say of all the chapters of my book, writing this one was the most difficult, because it felt like some type of a definition needed to be named to give context to the entire chapter and the concept. And it really is hard to put into words. So hopefully the combination of words kind of helps us really connect into that sense of spirit. And in a minute, I'm going to ask a question for our listening audience about how you know that you're connected to spirit. We'll come back to that here in a minute. This is a call, Spirit versus Ego. Let's talk about, what is ego? Well, ego, in this context, most simply put, false self. And I pulled that really from a book of Wayne Dyer's, and I thought, you know, that sums it up more than anything. It's not really who we are, although many of us get confused in thinking we are our egos. It's a part of our identity. It's a part of our conscious being, but it's not really our higher self. It's not, you know, who we are. It's really a false self. I like to equate it to the ego bodyguard. And if we think about the ego in this way, it's really helpful to see, well, if our ego is more in the role of a bodyguard, which is it's here to protect us, it's here to keep us separate, just like a bodyguard for a celebrity, right? That's their job, is to protect them, to be constantly on the hunt and look out for danger. And, keeping a certain kind of separation between the celebrity and the masses. And in the same way, our egos do that for us as well. I mean, we are in a separate body for sure, but because in today's world, most of us, especially living here in the Western world, safety is not such a big factor. You know, we don't need the protection of, you know, our lions and tigers going to come and attack our cave and, you know, eat our children and, you know, take our food, right? That's not the reality for most of us. Most of us, our basic needs are met. It's not about survival. It's not about protection in the same way that may have been true thousands and thousands of years ago. So this part of ourselves is sort of, you know, not needed to be used as much. And so in a way, it's created new roles for itself. And a lot of that is, you know, we keep separate, we protect. We find roles, or it finds roles for itself. And most of us have really been trained to thinking that, you know, that's who we are. If we look at ego, and say this about ego, that ego is not bad. It's also not something to try and get rid of. It's not something we can ever get rid of. We can notice when it arises, and we can notice, you know, typically when resistance arises, who's at play? There may be different kinds of nudging. Resistance doesn't arise for spirit in the same way that arises for ego. In fact, we can get a nudge from spirit and we can barely even notice that we're getting nudged down a certain path if our ego isn't activated and there's some resistance. You know, the ego going kicking and screaming, the ego wanting to artificially speed things up in life or artificially slow things down. So we want to just recognize it for what it is, and we also want to recognize when it gets activated. So what I'd love to do here is open up the lines and hear from our participants, you know, how do we know ego is present? How do we know ego is present?
This is Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine.
I would say that my first thought was that I just feel tight.
Yeah.
Really tight. And then I was thinking about it outside of that, and the next thing came to me was worry.
Yes. Okay, so those are two great costumes of the ego. Contraction, and literally physically we feel it, and worry, which is which worry always comes from some kind of thought or mind. Yeah, very good. Who else? How do we know ego is present? I'll throw out a couple here. We may be reactive, emotionally reactive. Ego's involved. Anything that's aiming for control or striving, you know, is an ego piece.
Competitive would be then.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So competitiveness, absolutely. Yeah. And part of the ego is like, it wants to be enough because the ego by itself really is sort of the illusion of control, but not really what's guiding things truly.
I like what David Hawkins says that it doesn't pay to make the ego a bad guy, and say, oh, bad ego, because then it just stirs up a bunch of junk, But I love what you said about the bodyguard part.
Yes.
It really resonates with me.
Yeah. So who else would add? How do you know ego is present? How do you know your ego is present?
I know one way. It's because you think you'll feel stupid speaking up.
Okay, good, right? There's one. There's a, a feeling of, might be, threatened or in some way or, maybe an anticipating judgment. Yeah. There's a way to speak right into the space, huh?
Which begs the question, why is it so hard, you know, for this to be a topic of conversation? Because this isn't a singular time, you know, but ego just doesn't like to be talked about as a category of life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true. Yep. Yep.
This is like resistance. This is totally resistance because everybody certainly has an opinion about ego.
Right, right. And I'm sure we've got people making notes here. I'll throw out a couple other little bullets here, and these are great little indicators. Anytime the language of I should, I need to, I have to, like these are all big ego indicators. That you're in a place of, if you're in a place of scarcity, anything analyzing, intellectualizing, right? There may be some of that, people thinking, oh, you know, gosh, I need to say something brilliant, or it could just be, I don't want to say that publicly because I know this is going to go on a CD, and thank you very much. I don't want to, like, have that broadcasted.
Well, Mary, this is Gail.
Yeah.
And my mother just arrived, so I just missed the last few minutes of this, but what shows up for me when ego is present is things don't work well, and I struggle with stuff.
Yes.
Stuff just doesn't work. I want to, you know, get that flight booked, and it's not working the way I want it to.
Right. Yep. Boy, very well said. True, true, true. When struggle is present, and for that matter, we might even just say anytime you're not feeling good, kind of goes back to what Catherine was saying about being tight physically. When it doesn't feel good, we can just, man, you know, there's something going on with ego. Ego is alive right here. Anyone else like to boldly chime in about how you know ego is present in your life? Or when it's present?
This is Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
I think if you've got a lot of self-doubt about things that you feel internally are the right thing to do.
Yeah.
You continue to doubt yourself.
Yes. Yes, self-doubt, another big category. Yep. Self-doubt arises from, it could be from mind chatter, you know, being up more in the head. Well, and interesting that, you know, the ego has two polarities. We've got, on one hand, it can be very minimizing of the self-doubt, and it could also be very grandiose. Oh, you know, I'm the best there is, right? Go the full spectrum, which either one, it creates separation, either being better than everyone or even less than, somehow doubting yourself in some way. Okay, good. Good, good, good. So here's just some general categories of ego indicators. I'm going to leave the lines open, and then we're going to go to this, you know, how do we know you're connected to spirit topic. But ego indicators, and like I mentioned, they often come in pairs, and we get polarized on one end or the other. So one ego indicator is any kind of negative emotional state, anything that doesn't feel good. So that's one big, huge category. And so good, just to recognize, ego's engaged. Okay, great. Two is anything related to the control, manipulation, or force, being attached to an outcome. This is where those words, I should, I need to, I have to, right? So that's that control, manipulation, or force. But, of course, the polar opposite of that is a sense of helplessness or even the victim mentality. So, you know, it's like either we go in the, oh, I got to control it, or, oh, my gosh, I am just not controlled at all, and there's no power. Third big category is, we kind of spoke to this a minute ago, a sense of self-righteousness or specialness, you know, that arrogance piece. We hear about that often, that, you know, the big ego. Polar opposite is minimizing of the self. So really to get that any kind of, and that's not to be confused with humility, but it can be a habit that I sometimes have to get on either some of my clients or sometimes friends that are taking on big projects. You know, it's like, you know, no minimizing yourself. You know, don't put yourself down, because it's really a, kind of a diffusing of the real power that is there. So be on the lookout there. Another big category is any kind of confusion. The ego loves to hang in indecision. So confusion, another indicator. Here's another one, laziness. So, and here's another polarity one. We got laziness on one side, workaholic on the other. Like both is totally, you know, neither one is really in a place of conscious choice. One is resisting action, the other one is almost addicted by it. Another category, neediness. So the, need this. Or polar opposite of that is, I don't need anything. Don't need anything. I don't need that. You know, that's sort of the ego, again, creating separation, right? We attach or we repel. And then really the biggest category, and really this is, and we've talked about this before, but we can, it's good to just keep it present, and that is just resistance to anything. Any kind of struggle, stress, pushing, frustration, resistance. So let's move into this next question. So how do you know you're connected to spirit? And we talked about, you know, when we're really connected into that internal guiding system, that intuition, we might even call that, you know, our personal integrity. How do you know when you're connected to spirit?
This is Gary again.
Yeah.
I'll say it's just, I guess the opposite of the self-doubt is everything seems to flow and things come fairly easy. You know, it's effortless.
Yeah.
When you're doing things in spirit.
Yes. So true. A huge sense of effortlessness. Yeah, it's almost like you're being carried by the stream, right?
This is Michael.
Yeah, Michael.
I'm going to say when you feel inspired.
Yeah.
Or excited.
Yeah.
When you feel energetic. When you can't wait to tackle something on.
Mm-hmm. Like there's just a real welcoming of kind of what's next, like welcoming the next moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very energetic feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie.
I would say when I'm at peace. When my mind is calm, there's no distracting thoughts, then I'm focused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. Right? That's a huge one. When we're peaceful, even blissful, a calm mind, boy, that's a big one. Right? We're connected to spirit.
Yes.
At least my experience has sure been that when we're connected to spirit, you know, it's not that there's not any thought or any download about what's next, but it's a different quality of guidance, and spirit doesn't always have to talk. It's not always got something to say next. It's sometimes just, great, we can just connect. There's nothing to do in this moment. Mm-hmm. Who else would...
This is Michael?
Yeah.
What about when you're feeling... brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous.
Mm. Yeah, okay. So, and I would say certainly in the context that you're speaking of, pulling those words from the Marianne Williamson quote, right? Who
yeah,
are you not to be brilliant, talented, gorgeous, right? Yeah, and I would say we could look at that in two lights. The way that you're saying it, I would say, yeah, that's absolutely when we're connected to our brilliance and our talent and our gifts and our gorgeousness in the world, then absolutely we're connected to spirit. Of course, those same words can be used in kind of an ego way. You know, I'm more brilliant than you. I'm, you know, when we get, if there's a comparison in there or, you know, it's creating separation. But, and I think that's, you know, why sometimes we end up minimizing ourselves. It's like, oh, well, you know, if I say I'm brilliant, then, oh, you know, I'm putting myself above others. It's like, well, and you're just acknowledging what's really true and alive. How cool is it to acknowledge our brilliance? Who else would add to, how do you know you're connected to spirit?
Can I throw one in?
Sure.
How about when you feel love?
Ah, that's a beautiful one. Feeling a sense of love. I love that one.
And generous?
Generous. Yeah, really open to giving. Mm-hmm. And we might say we're connected to spirit in the present moment. Like when we really are just, when we're grounding in our now practices, when we're really just present to what is, this is one of our big sources of connection to spirit. We also might, Catherine shared on the front end about, you know, ego indicator, body is tight. We might notice that when we're connected to spirit, that the energy in our body shifts from kind of a higher plane, like, in, you know, being in the headspace, down more into your body when we're connected to spirit. We're connected to our breath. We're, you know, more in our heart space versus our headspace. There's also a sense of safety. A safety, you know, I'll be all right. Receiving. We're also open to receiving. Some people have said, you know, you just know. It's sort of like when you're, what's a good example? I'm thinking, you know, going down the ski hill and you're just like in the perfect formation, kind of going back and forth, or, you know, sailing. It's sort of like you're in that sweet spot. You can just feel when everything is aligned. Right, so there really is that sense of connection. And a real place of slowing down. And we might note that we can also be connected to spirit. You know, once we get good at it, it's not that we have to slow down to be connected to spirit. We can really start to pay attention with that. Here's how we want to use the rest of this time, is really how we can recognize spirit more fully and how we can really begin to work with the spirit's guidance. So life really does become as easy as following the simple directions. So first, just recognizing spirit, and these are all spelled out in The Power of Inner Choice. Keys number one is knowing. There's a sense of knowing is present. So when you're standing in a place of knowing, you know, spirit is alive and well. There's a sense trust is present. So if you feel like you may not, I'm thinking Gail was with us on the, you know, the first tour stop of Awakening Beyond Achievement. Boy, there were a lot of details that were, everything wasn't all orderly and put together, you know, the day before my very first Awakening Beyond Achievement event. In fact, we always were adding something new to each event, so there was always a little bit of stuff. But I can tell that every single time there was a real trust, like I had just an absolute knowing and trust that everything would all come together, even though there were many things that weren't clear. Even Friday night before my first event, even as late as at midnight, there were some details that I didn't have 100% figured out in my mind. But knowing was present, trust was present. It's like, you know, I just knew that by the time I walked on stage that everything I needed would come together. And thank goodness spirit came through for me. Another recognizing spirit, Stephanie pointed to this, feelings of peace and relief are present. So it doesn't mean everything is orderly and tidy and, you know, we have everything, you know, perfectly according to some kind of script, but there's feelings of peace and relief. And fourth thing is inspired action occurs. And so this is really where, you know, we start getting connected to this idea of inspired action, that we're literally pulled into action. And action almost occurs on its own without us having to force it. All right, which is, all this is just hopefully good inspiration to, boy, you know, let's cultivate the environment in such a way where we can have more access to spirit, because when we really are plugged into spirit in deeper and deeper ways, life really does become more simple. It's really a matter of, okay, you know, well, what's next? Well, what's the next, you know, let's look for kind of what's the next direction. If any of you ever have been to Byron Katie's School for the Work, which is a program I highly, highly recommend, she refers to it as, you know, simply following the simple directions. And if you think of it that way, that if you're tuned in, like, okay, well, what's next? Check in from a place of peace, a place of listening, and you'll be literally instructed. In fact, not instructed so much in the way of, okay, let me spell it out in black and white, here's the next thing to do. You'll see it literally will pull you into action. You don't even need to do anything if you're just surrendered to it. It's one of the keys. So here's, we're going to cover really 8 keys to working with Spirit's guidance, and then offer up a couple assignments, and we'll open up the lines for any questions or comments that y'all may have. So working with Spirit's guidance, how we can really strengthen this connection so that it can be working for us more and more. So number one is to always be listening for it. And in order to always be listening for it, we really need to cultivate our ability to be present. This is why the lesson on now practices came before the lesson on spirit versus ego. Because being present, if we're so caught up in distraction, we're going to completely miss. All the signals are going to get kind of crossed up in a more distorted way. And we may let fear and some of the other ego concerns run our lives. And, of course, usually that's a lot smaller and not nearly as joyful and a lot more challenging and difficult than it really needs to be. So we want to always listen for it. We want to, in order to listen for it, we need to be present. And we need to learn to listen literally. And what I mean by that is, you know, just is taking guidance almost at face value. So if I'm sitting here and all of a sudden, and like I just did, get like, oh, have a drink of water. Well, okay, pick up the glass of water, have a drink of water. There we go. Listening literally. You know, let's say you get kind of an impulse or a listening for you take a nap or pick up the phone and call somebody or you know, sit down and do your year-long vision, or, you know, let's go to the gym today. Let's do that. Or let's make a healthier food choice. Right? Really just, you know, listening to that and honoring that, not a, oh, well, I'll do it next time. Right? So we want to always be listening for it. So that's the first key. Number two, we want to choose high vibrations. Choose high vibrations. And what I mean by that, this is really relates back to lesson number two, which is about cultivating daily rituals, cultivating, you know, doing these practices that are going to be feeding a good high consciousness energy state, doing things that nurture our soul, meditation, exercise, good self-care, gratitude, working those emotional muscles, these daily rituals, journaling, all of these things help bring about a higher vibration, and really the higher our energy vibration set point, the easier it is. It's almost like being closer to the source, not that the source is necessarily up, but you know, we could think of it in that way. But choosing high vibrations, so really feeding those daily rituals, hopefully you're getting more inspired to you know, keep those really alive in your life. Number three, patience. Okay, patience. Well, what do you mean, patience? Well, if I'm committed to really honoring my spirit's guidance and I prepare my day by, let's say, you know, writing out my to-do list, let's say, or maybe I've done it the night before and I come in the morning and if I'm going to really honor spirit's guidance, I may look at my to-do list and look at where the gravity is. And what I mean by that is, you know, what am I pulled? Where am I being called? Where am I, what am I inspired to take on next? And it might not be obvious what that is, but if we are cultivating spirit's guidance, we can just be patient and know that if you just wait a moment or two longer, you will get pulled into the action. Of course, you're going to get an assignment here. Might as well dish it out right now here as we're talking about these guidelines. And that is really about listening to the voice of spirit fully and really, really honoring it, I'll say, over the next 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, really to see just how much you can truly honor spirit's guidance as much as humanly possible. Obviously, you know, certain things like, you know, set appointments or whatever, well, probably spirit's going to want you to make those appointments. But every other opportunity that you have that's not already predetermined is look to spirit to guide you, right? And if it's not, you know, readily, you know, showing you where to go next on the yellow brick road, just wait a moment. Exercise patience and you'll see. Key number four is about trusting it. So trusting it means, you know, just that. Get an inkling to, say, pick up the phone and call somebody. You might think, well, boy, you know, that wasn't really on my to-do list for today. But great, Janet, just trust it. You'll be amazed at what you find out when you really just start 100% honoring spirit's guidance, or attempting to honor 100%. We're not aiming for perfection here. Just a step up. So really trusting it goes. Key number five is let it pull you into action. Right, when we're listening for it, when we're in a vibration that we can be receptive to it, when we trust it, we can let it pull us into action. Like, we really don't even need to make that conscious physical choice. Okay, I'll do it. It's just, if we're just surrendered, we'll notice the action is happening through us. Well, actually, ever since we moved into our new place, I noticed that we have hummingbirds that were floating around. I have some red chairs on the patio, so of course the hummingbirds are coming over. They're thinking, well, there's red. Where's the food, right? So I kept seeing these hummingbirds. Wanted to get, you know, a hummingbird feeder for them. When I was in Colorado, there were also tons of hummingbirds, so we actually bought a couple hummingbird feeders while we were there, and I got to bring one of them home. Of course, then it was sitting out on my counter, hence becoming a toleration. And it was sitting there, but, you know, here I am, you know, flying up to the next event, and then the next event, and then I had trainings, and, you know, so much going on in my schedule that, you know, I barely could see straight that, you know, to stop long enough to fill the hummingbird feeder wasn't happening. But here's what happened. Day after my last tour stop in Newport Beach, we did a day at the beach. Again, there were hummingbirds right around where we were at the beach. And, of course, nothing like being at the beach to get you in a nice, connected spirit place. I came walking in home through the door, and I just noticed that literally I walked over, saw the hummingbird feeder, thought, now's the time to fill it. I didn't argue. Great. You know, found some sugar, you know, heated up the water, and poof, just like that, hummingbird. I literally took a few minutes, but I didn't resist it. I just allowed that action to flow through me. Same thing has occurred. Some of you are also in business where you need to do, you know, marketing steps for your business. You know, I notice when, you know, I have an assignment that, oh, I need to, you know, sit down, I need to write some marketing copy or write some emails to get out. And I notice if there's a nudge where it's like it's not happening, I mostly don't force it. I mostly want to go and cultivate that space where spirit can run through me. And then inevitably what will happen is the moment will come when all of a sudden it's like I'm grabbing the pen. There's the moment of opportunity. I either, you know, sit down, type it out on my laptop. Sometimes, it's often how my newsletters get created. It's, you know, all of a sudden Spirit's like, oh, the time is now. So I just go for the ride or let the ride take me, however we want to look at that. So that's key number five, really let it pull you into action. And so you'll really be opening yourself up for that here over the next couple weeks and hopefully longer, because it's you'll see. Once you really step into this exercise, so many cool things will start arising that it becomes a little addicting. So here's another couple keys for you. Number six key is to respond quickly. And this is a key. So if I would have come home and instead of just acting on the bird feeder, I know it's kind of a simple thing, but if I would have said, oh no, I need to do this first. Oh, that, you know, that's ego. There's some kind of resistance. Oh no, not this. I need to do this. It could have so pulled me out of flow that then I do one thing, and then I do the next thing, and then next thing you know, it's, you know, 2 weeks later and still a task is not complete. So when it shows up, you know, run with it. Respond quickly. I remember one of the times, the examples in the book, where I think I was coming back from an appointment and I got a sense to, you know, go to the post office now and get some stamps or mail something. And my mind kind of came in as like, oh, you know, I really should get back. But I was in this mode of just really honoring Spirit. So I'm like, no, you know, I guess we'll go. It's, you know, I'm just following the simple directions. So I go, and at the post office, while I'm standing in line to mail whatever the package was, some gal was in line, and she was there mailing her estimated taxes. And I totally hadn't thought about that and wasn't mindful of the day, which I think it was actually that day was estimated tax day. So because I honored Spirit's guidance, I got this other little piece of information that allowed me to actually get my estimated taxes paid on time. So you know, you'll get little bonuses like that by responding and not arguing. You know, arguing comes from the ego. Number seven, tame the ego. So in taming the ego, so this is where humility comes into play. This is just, a lot of it is just even bringing awareness to these ego activities. If we just have a strong sense of awareness over our ego activities and actions, then it can do a lot to just tame that force. It's like, oh, you know, here I've got this impulse to want to control a situation. Okay, so I see the impulse. And now I put my attention back on, you know, and what does Spirit have to say for next? And then finally, step number eight is commit to the process. And this is really where these next couple weeks, really allowing yourself to see where does Spirit have to take you? And just, you know, by stepping into the process, by listening for it, by creating an environment that's conducive to hear the signals, by being patient, by trusting it, by letting it pull you into action, by responding quickly, by doing your best to tame the ego, you'll see how all these pieces come together. And literally, I've been amazed at, y'all know how I've taken a lot of things on this year, which, you know, it's like, makes you wonder where that came from, right? Maybe Spirit, you know, it's like, oh, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing this. And in all of this, if it hadn't been for this really strong sense of trusting that every step of the way that I'm guided, I'm given kind of the next piece, you know, I only need to know what the next step is, or I only need to be present to handle the next piece. This is how there, you know, is, so much has been created and accomplished, five-city tour, moving in the middle of it, having a semblance of inner peace in the process. We've now got six audio products. We've got a CD product. We've got, you know, all these new programs that have come about. And on one hand, it's like, oh, this is ridiculous, but it's less of a big deal when you just have that access to your own spirit, that guiding force. Okay, so let me just dish out assignments. made the first one kind of clear, which is this listening to the voice of spirit. And I'd love to hear, what is your experience in honoring and listening to spirit's guidance? So that's one. Another assignment here is, if you go to page 119 in The Power of Inner Choice, I know you all have a copy of the book because that's part of the, well, part of Momentum Mastery is you receive a copy of the book. If you go to page 119 in The Power of Inner Choice, there's an exercise about looking at several choices that you've made in your life. And you want to spot out three major decisions that you've made. You could even do this as you're listening now. Is, you know, what are three big, huge decisions, like a decision to move to a new city or attend a particular university or a decision to get married? I know one of my major decisions from years ago was a choice to attend Tony Robbins' Life Mastery Seminar, which at the time was, you know, in total about a $12,000 commitment to, you know, the tuition, flying, you know, to the events, all the hotel, everything else. You know, major decision, right? And we also want to look at three minor decisions. So, but I think one of the ones I have in the book, minor decision, join Match.com, right? Minor decision. You'll see examples in the book for major, minor decisions. And here's why we're doing this exercise is, after you've named the decisions, to look and see if you can identify the point where the decision was made. And what many people find is that the elements of spirit were present. I remember the moment of joining Match.com, which was sort of a, I was on a coach call, somebody, we were looking for a domain, somehow it led to, and we were looking up a bunch of domains for her. There was a picture on the wall that was like an I love you. I decided to look up iloveyou.com. Oh, who has that domain? You know, sort of a, just a, you know, just being guided out of nowhere. That was one of the domains for Match.com. I sort of got intrigued and ended up, you know, joining Match.com, which led actually to ultimately me moving to Northern California, ultimately led to me meeting my husband. So it was sort of a, an interest, quite an interesting chain of events and lots of little ripples, actually including kind of my biggest spiritual breakthrough came through as a result of, I met that guy on Match.com. So we can see how at the core of our choices, just to get present to that spirit's guidance being present. Okay, and you know, I think that is enough for today. That exercise, and then, you know, bonus homework. Let me put out a couple bonus homework assignments so that you can really get yourself immersed in this, really strengthening this connection to spirit's guidance, is look at what faces of the ego that you want to consciously work on taming. So we kind of name some in terms of emotional states, in terms of, you know, either being self-righteous or minimizing yourself, or, you know, just some aspect of resistance. So I invite you to look at that list of ego indicators and look at, you know, maybe just one that you want to practice counterbalancing. So maybe it's about, you know, I'm not going to minimize myself over the coming week. I'm going to just be really mindful of any language that tears me down. So that could be an example of that. So look at that. And then another piece of bonus homework here, of being mindful of not wanting to give you too much, but feeling called to, no, give them this piece too. This is a good piece. So practice literal listening without reaction. And that means hearing the words that are being said by another person, hearing the guidance that you're getting, hearing it at face value before bringing in some kind of a interpretation, meaning, you know, hearing things at face value. It's an excellent, excellent practice and will really help you in honoring spirit's guidance over the weeks to come. Okay, well, so that's the assignment here for today. If and really just so excited about what each of you has in store as you turn up the volume and listening to Spirit's guidance over the coming week. So with that, I will just say, looking forward to speaking to y'all in 2 weeks, and that's it.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome. Have a great night, everyone.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Alrighty. Bye now.
Bye-bye.